2 minutes to 3:30 so we can either sing one more short one or we can go ahead and do our message. What y'all want to do? Did somebody else have one picked out already? Nobody? You got one you want to sing? She finding one. Is that it? Did you have one you wanted to sing? Nah. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll start our message then. How about that? All right. Well, let's go ahead and start our message. And we'll be in John chapter 15 again today. And we've been talking about the book of John for quite some time now. I don't know exactly how long, but I was teaching the book of John, and back when I was teaching it in the jail, and the guy was sitting in the pew. I invited him to church, you know, to come to church, and they were sitting in the pew, and he happened to be sitting in the pew behind my wife, and he says, "Here's that guy. He's been teaching in the book of John for 4 years now." And my wife says, "Yeah, he didn't know I heard that, but anyway," I said, "well, that's about true. So when you come like once a week or every other time, there's a lot of messages in here, and so there's a lot of stuff, and you don't always get to get there every time, and then some of them takes a little bit longer, and you have to skip over, do some different things sometimes, but I always tell people it's not about how much you go through, but how much goes through you, right? How much do we get out of it? Not how much do we go through." So anyway, the book of John is summed up in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And he said, "Many other signs Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, but these signs have been written about that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life in his name." So John is a unique book. It doesn't have a lot of the parables and all of those things. He misses all of Jesus' early life. He doesn't talk about any genealogy or any birth narrative. And he doesn't have a lot of those parables. But like I said, he starts out with the crux of the matter. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And he said, "And all things were created through him, and nothing was created without him, and in him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not understand or comprehend it." And then there was a man named John who came as a witness, to bear witness, and he was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. So we'll start right there with the first six verses of John 1. But what he does is he goes on, and John tells us he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, right? And so we see in the first, really, 11 chapters that Jesus does what? Those miracles. We could call that section the miracles of the Messiah, the signs of the Savior. And then we see in verses, chapters 13 to really starts in 12, he kind of shows who he is. In chapters 12 and 13 through 17, he turns his back on the rest of the world and only speaks to the disciples from then on. And he gives that upper room discourse, the secrets of the Savior, the things that they need to know and the things we need to know to live the Christian life. And that's where we're at, in the middle of that section. And of course, the last section is chapters 18 to 21, where he talks about the sovereignty of the Savior. And so there he says that Jesus gives up his life. Nobody takes his life from him, but he gives his life for the sheep. And so we see that the first section takes a few years, and then the second section is a few hours, and then the last section, chapters 18 to 21, are a few weeks or so, because it ends up after he's resurrected, and then the 50 days and the day of Pentecost, he leaves after 40 days. So we see that in this section, we've been talking about how Jesus was in chapter 15. He began to talk about, and he said that Israel was the, supposed to be the vine. They were supposed to be the spiritual giver of truth to the rest of the world. And they were just a picture of who Jesus truly is. And remember, Israel had all these vines all over the place and on their coins, and they were supposed to be the vine. And we saw that, I think it was Isaiah 5, that he said that they became a wild vine and they did not do what they were supposed to do. And so God said he would judge them, and he talks about that more in Isaiah 15, but he says that he will judge them because they became a wild vine and they yielded wild grapes and they worshiped other gods and they didn't do the things they were supposed to do. And so Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the true source of all physical and spiritual life and refreshment and truth. And he says, my Father is the vine dresser. We talked about that. The vine dresser does what? He takes care of the vines. And some of these people train for several years before they can trim on the vines, because you can trim them and you can ruin them and they won't produce again, or you can kill them. And then he talks about every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So he's going to give us two groups of people here, the true believers and the false believers, right? The branch in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And we see in verse 6 that he does what? He throws it in the fire and they're burned. And that's speaking of hell, right? And some people have said that some of this has to do with rewards, but it has nothing to do with rewards. It has to do with being saved or not saved. Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's telling them how to understand the difference between a true disciple and a false disciple. Remember, the false disciple just left, right? Judas just left. And so he said Judas was a false disciple. He was a false branch. He's gone, and he went to his own place, is what it says in Acts chapter 1, and when they replaced Judas. And so we see that he goes on, and it seems kind of funny. He says, every branch in me. In other words, every person that seems to be in me. Luke 18, I think it is, talks about that he that has even what he seems to have will be taken away. In other words, there are people who appear to be true, right? We talked about the vine, the wheat and the tares and the soils and the seeds and all those things, that only one out of four were true believers of the soils, the seeds. And then we talked about that those people are not true believers, that the wheat is the true believers and the tares are those who grow up amongst them. And how one great preacher said that he believed only about 28% of the people would disappear if the rapture occurred during the middle of the church service. That's the catching away. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, there'll be the voice of God, the trumpet, the shout of God, the trumpet of the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and then the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive and remain will ever meet him in the air. I always get those three things mixed up, and I tried to get it right in my head the other day. The shout of God, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. Then those who are dead will rise out of the graves, their bodies will, and the souls are already in heaven, right? And so he talks about that, and he says, but those who bear fruit do what? He proves that it may bear more fruit, right? And then he goes on, and the last time we were here, we talked about that he says, and you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That's verse 4 of chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 4. And remember, we talked about how James says that you're saved by the word of God, and Ephesians 1 says the moment you heard the word of truth, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, talk about you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The moment you heard, you believed, you were saved, and you were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our redemption until the purchase, redemption of the purchased possession. And so he goes on and he talked about they were already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I don't know how many times I looked it up one time and it said they heard the word and were saved. They heard the word and were saved. They heard the word and they were saved. How do you get saved? You hear the word. That's how you get saved. You hear the word, you believe the word, you trust in the word, And then you, by faith, you accept that, and then you are saved, forgiven. And as we spoke earlier, you can never lose it, and He will never leave you and never forsake you. And then last time we were here, we talked about this also. He said, abide in me and I in you. And we talked about that's really synonymous with the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, like I said, some people kind of think about the Holy Spirit as an it, but the Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity. He's a person. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's not some kind of weird, crazy, you know, things. People do all kinds of stuff and say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, or they're controlled by the Holy Spirit, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. But that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the wrong spirit. You know, it's like the guy said one time, he was stood up in this thing and he was talking about this thing, and he said, well, we know this is not exactly biblical, but this is what we believe the Lord led us to do. I'm like, okay, well, this is not exactly biblical, but the Lord led you, huh? If the scripture says it's no, then no is no is no, right? So it's not exactly biblical. Okay, so you just stepped on your own tongue, right? Abide in me, it means to be filled with the Spirit. We talked about this last time for a good while. We said to be filled with the Spirit is to what? To be controlled by the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, right? And then it says you'll be speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart, giving thanks and being submissive, right? Same thing it says in Ephesians 5. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, and which is dissipation, but be what? Filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, and that you will be, and that will result in what? Same thing I said in Colossians, singing, making melody, talking about the Word of God, joyful. You'll be submissive, you'll be thankful, you'll be all of these things, because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so when we're filled with the Spirit, and remember I said the last time, being filled with the Spirit is what? As best as we know how, we're prayed up, we're confessed up, confessed all known sin, and as best as we know how, we're living in the will of God. We're letting God's Word and God's will direct and guide us, right? And that's what we call being filled or controlled by the Spirit. I mean, you know, that word filled could be actually translated controlled. Because what happens when somebody's drunk? It says don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So when people are drunk with wine, they're controlled by that wine, right? But, you know, in another place, it was talking about the Pharisees, it says that they were filled with envy. Filled means to be what? Controlled, right? And so when we're filled with something, that's what's controlling us. And so we're filled with anger, we're filled with bitterness, we're filled with joy, we're filled with whatever it is. And so to be filled with the Spirit means I am living for God in every way, shape, and form as best as I know how. And when we sin, we do what? Go to 1 John 1:9, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that puts us back in the right standing with God. And then we ask God to fill us again with His Spirit, right? You're saved once, but you're filled many times. Somebody said, why do we have to be filled with the Spirit? And somebody said, we're like balloons, we leak. You know, sometimes we get exposed to things that we don't want to see, or things that we hear, or something that goes on around us. As Jesus said when He was washing the disciples' feet, He said, you are clean, but not all of you. In other words, all of you but Judas are saved. But He says, but he who is clean only needs to wash his feet, because as we're walking through this world, our feet get dirty, right? Sometimes we sin, we get mad, we get angry, we get bitter, we have problems, and we get discouraged, and all those things are sin, right? Worry is a sin. He says, don't be anxious about anything, right? And so here we are, and He says, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Somebody said, no root, no fruit, right? So if you're not attached to the vine, Jesus, you can do nothing. Now somebody said, well, you know, I could do this, I could do that, I could do these things. What he's saying is you could do nothing of eternal significance, eternal meaning, right? In other words, the people of the world, they accomplish stuff. But does what they accomplish really mean anything in the scheme of things, right? I mean, they might have their name on a building or a name on a road or a bridge or, you know, or maybe they got some great award. But the question is what have they done for Jesus? What did they do for Jesus? Have they done anything for God? Those are the things that mean stuff, right? What was the guy's name that he got killed by the Aka Indians? His wife was Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot, and they went over to witness to this tribe of people, and they came on the airplane and they landed, and right after they got there, not too long, the Indians, these natives, killed Jim Elliot, and I think there was two or three other guys, and they killed them. And Elizabeth Elliot, she went back, and she had a great women's ministry for years and years and years. She's still on the radio, as far as I know, on some of the channels, the Bible Broadcasting Network. But she went back, and she began to talk to these people and love on these people, and some of them began to come to Christ. But what Jim Elliot said was, one life we live will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. So those are the things that matter. And so he's saying you can't do anything of eternal meaning or significance unless you abide in the vine. And so we allow God to fill us, control us. We let him lead us. We let him guide us. And when that happens, what happens? We bear fruit, right? And so that's what happens. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing of eternal significance. And so remember, it's all about abiding in the vine, being attached to the vine. Let the vine fill you and empower you and lead you and guide you. You know, somebody said one time, I forgot who it was one of the old black guys, he said that one of the guys was up there preaching, and he says, did you just went or was you sent? Were you sent by the Lord or did you just went? You know, did you went, not get it English, but did you just show up to do this or were you sent by God? And that's the question. Are we letting God tell us how to live our life, what to do, what to say? You know, Jesus said, nothing I say or do, I do unless the Father what? Tells me to do it. I do nothing, is what Jesus said. I wish to God I could say that. You know, I wish I could be like Apostle Paul or somebody, you know, or a Timothy, at that greatness of how they were and how they followed the Lord, did the things that they did. But he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, remember Jesus is in us through the Holy Spirit, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And so we need the Lord, and we need him leading, guiding, and when we do that and trust and follow him, as we sang the old song, we didn't sing it today, trust and obey, right? And he says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they grow, gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Somebody says, look at it. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, what are the things that happen? They're cast out as a branch, they're withered, they gather them, they throw them in the fire, and they are burned. That's the easy way to break that verse up, right? You know, and think about this. What do you do with all the branches? I got these post oaks in my backyard. I've never seen so many leaves and so many branches come off of them. All these little tiny branches, most of them about maybe this long, about big around as your finger or smaller, at least my little fingers anyway, or the lady's fingers. But you know, they're everywhere. But what do you do with those? You just take them and get rid of them. You throw them away because they're not any good. They don't have any leaves. They don't have any fruit. They don't have any value whatsoever. And if you got a fire going, you throw them in there. I usually throw them in the trash can because I can't just really burn a fire just anytime I want to. I don't want to have to burn a fire just to burn some branches. But Jesus is talking about people who don't know him are going to hell. They're going to be burned. They will be burned for eternity. And in verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Listen to what he said. If you abide in me and my what? Words abide in you. In other words, that's what Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, right? And that's how God's word leads us and guides us. How do we know what to do? By reading our Bible, right? By studying it, by praying, by asking God, what is it you want me to do, Lord? You know, do we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to invite to the church service today? Is there somebody you want me to speak to about the Lord today, Lord? Just kind of tell them, you know, my testimony and say, well, when I was younger, you know, I used to do all these things and maybe you didn't live a good life. I know I didn't for a while. But you know, you live that life and you say, one day the Lord spoke to my heart and I was in a church and I got saved and forgiven and you know, God changed me from the inside out. I was talking to a lady one day and they're professing Christians, but they go to a church that does not believe in Christ and Christ alone. It's faith plus works. And they wear all these crosses on their shirts all the time. And I'm like, y'all don't even know what that means. Unfortunately, they do not understand because I've had a conversation with them. I know what their church believes. And I said, you know, I go preach to people in the prison and some of them get saved and they get changed from the inside out. All these programs people are doing, they don't fix people, right? But when Christ comes in your life, he forgives you, he changes you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, that means men and women, boys and girls, is in Christ, then they are what? A new creation. Behold, all things are new. How many things are new? All things, right? He gives us a new want to, a new desire, a new ability, new power. A new master in heaven. We no longer slaves to sin and slaves to the devil, but we're friends of Jesus. We'll talk about that in the next section when I come back. But the friends of Jesus, right? No longer do I call you slaves, but I call you what? Friends. Because a friend knows what his master is doing, right? What his friend is doing. I tell you the things that I'm doing. And so he says, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire. In other words, and he says that it shall be done for you. In other words, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when your desire, I think we talked about this verse last week, didn't we? I think Proverbs chapter 3, I think I read that to y'all. And I guess I'll read it again. But I think I got ahead of myself last week, but in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, it says, talks about not leaning into your own understanding. Let me get there real quick so I don't mess it all up. I haven't been quoting it lately. But he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And so what does he say there? He says, don't lean into your own understanding, but let God lead you. Let God guide you. Because who knows everything? God. And you know, God knows what to do every time, doesn't he? And so when we pray when we love somebody and we love Jesus, we're a believer in Christ, what do? We want to please him, right? And so we're like Jesus. He says, I want to do the things that my Father. He says, I only do those things. But we say we would like to only do those things that pleases my Father. But he says here, you will ask what you desire. And so what kind of prayers will we be asking if we're truly God's children and truly wanting his will in our lives? We'll be praying for people to be saved. We'll be praying for people to come to the service. We'll be praying for lives to be changed, for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren or great-greats, whatever we may have, you know, and pray that God will forgive them and they will trust Christ and become children of God. We'll pray for this nation that God will turn us around and that people will be saved. And we'll pray the Word of God. I mean, there's all these prayers that Paul prays. You know, we pray a lot of times for people's health and sicknesses and because so-and-so's in the hospital, and that's fine and that's great. But you know, every time Paul prayed, you know what he prayed? He prayed things like, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you might know what is the length and width and depth of this love that surpasses all understanding, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what he's praying? That we'd have every bit of God that there is, that we would be filled with the Spirit, and we would be all that God wants us to be and do all God wants us to do. And if we're truly his children, that's what we want to do, right? And I have my thing stuck right there in that spot. He says here that you be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What does that mean? That Christ would be at home in your life. Is Christ at home in our life? Does he feel at home with us because we're living for him and living in such a way that's pleasing to him? We don't have to be perfect, but we just need to be children of God and desiring to please God, right? Like I said, prayed up, confessed up, that you might be strengthened with might through the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ which passes all understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then what does he say? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to his power that works in us mightily. Think about that. Who works in us mightily? God does, right? He's able to do. That's why I broke that up like that. He's able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to his power that works in us mightily. So when we pray and we ask God to lead us and guide us, we will pray for things that please him. And then he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So when we do these things, what happens? God is glorified and we will bear much fruit. So we'll have what? We'll have intimate fellowship. We'll have answered prayer. We'll have glory given to God. And then we'll show others through our lives who he is. Right? That's what it's all about. That we would be like Christ. Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says over in Philippians that, how's he put it? He says, that I might be seen as a dead man walking amongst, a live man walking amongst dead people. In other words, that I want to do whatever it takes, that I want to have the fellowship over suffering, that people might see me as a live man walking amongst dead people, and they know there's something different about me. He says, I beat my body into subjection. Go look at what he went through in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says in another spot, he says, this is a momentary light affliction which works a far more exceeding weight of glory. I think that's like 2 Corinthians 3:18, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says he was shipwrecked 3 times. He was beat 3 times with the cat of nine tails, the thing that would kill you when they pull all the flesh off your body. And he was beaten with rods 5 times. He was shipwrecked in the sea a day and a night. He was in peril of robbers. He was in peril of countrymen. He was naked and hungry and cold and all these things. And you know what? He did it all because he loved Jesus. And he said, you know what? Romans 8:18, the suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven one day. So our life is to show others who Jesus is. What's the verse in Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine. He talks about being salt and light, right? And the salt's lost its flavor. In other words, you're no good if people don't see a difference in you. You know, sometimes salt stings, sometimes it heals. But you know, salt is good for a lot of things. But then he says that we would be, let our light so shine. In other words, let the righteousness of Christ in our life so shine that others may see our good works and glorify who? Our Father who's in heaven. And so that's what it's all about, is showing others who we are. And when we show others who we are, we get to tell others who He is. That's pretty good. When we show others who we are through Him, we get to show others, tell others who He is. And so that's what it's all about, showing others who He is. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for these folks here today. We just lift each and every person up here, Lord. Whatever each person here needs to take away from this message, Lord, I pray that You would just seal it to our hearts here today and just be glorified, that we would let our light shine, that we would be filled with the Spirit, abiding in You. We will be praying and seeing You answer prayers, because we want to see things prayed for. We pray for things that mean things to You, Lord, that are important to You. And then we will bear much fruit, and then others will see who You are. And people will know we have, as they said about the disciples in Acts, that they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but because of the way they spoke and the things they did, they said they knew they had been with Jesus. And Lord, that's what we want, is people to know we've been with You. And we'll see lives change because of who You are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was thinking about the guy that he said he was in the, that he'd been in the, a greenhouse, and it was full of roses. And he walked over there and he got close to somebody, and the people said, could smell the roses on him. And he's like, well, how do you know that I've been in the rose garden over here? He says, you smell like roses. So who do we smell like? Do we smell like Jesus? Do people see the fragrance of Jesus on our lives? Do we know, do we show others who He is by the way we live, the things we do, and the things we say? All right, well, God bless y'all. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all, and good to see all of y'all today. Hope you have a great rest of the day. And the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you both now, today, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.